And to Russia Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. Today, we are putting in the spotlight a mainstay in downtown Hopkins that is about to reopen to the public after a long process of rebuilding because of a fire. David Benowitz, the president and co-owner of Craft and Crew Hospitality, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline from Pub 819 in Hopkins. David, it's good to visit with you.
Hey, Jason.
Glad
we could connect today.
Yes. How excited are you to open Pub 819 to the public tomorrow?
We're pumped. Yeah, it's been a long journey that we never thought we would be in, but we're here and we're ready to open tomorrow. This fire happened back in November, and you never think you're going to get that phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning from the alarm company saying that there's a fire at one of your businesses.
And what was that, you know, when that call comes, like, they don't know how bad it is. You don't know how bad it is, right?
No, it was honestly hard to assess until early the next morning because we didn't have any power. So we thought that it was just going to be the kitchen.
Little kitchen fire and whatever.
Exactly. And when we assessed all the actual smoke damage to the building and the insurance company came out, they said, you know, this looks like it's going to be a total loss. And even at that point, we were negotiating with our insurance company. Like, I think we can keep this and this and this. Like, no, there's way too much smoke damage and it's going to be a complete loss and we're going to replace everything in the building. So at that point, again, we had never been through this before. So we thought it was going to be at most 3 to 4 months. But they said it could be up to a year. We're about in the middle at 7 months.
Yeah. 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 And I imagine you worry, you know, obviously it's Pub 819 has been a big deal in Hopkins for a long time, but you worry about your employees too, right? Like, what do they do in the interim?
Yeah, that was honestly, Jason, our biggest concern going into this. And, you know, fortunately we had really good insurance, not only to cover the loss, but also to help compensate our staff. And we were able to obtain all of our managers at all the locations, and about 40% of the hourly staff that worked at the pub back in November, we were able to place at other locations as well. So that was a huge help. And we have about 70% of our entire crew coming back.
Wow. How about that?
Now, so that's a big deal. Really big deal.
What do you attribute that to? What do you think made them want to come back? Because obviously a number of them had other jobs in the interim, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly. They did. You know, I think it's, you know, from the beginning, I know we said we're going to be 100% transparent with all of you. We've never been through this before, and we're going to need your help to rebuild. And so we kept in touch with all of them every 4 weeks. We had virtual updates, and whoever wanted to be in that call could be in that call. And we went line by line exactly what was happening, the progress, what was happening with insurance, what was happening with payroll. And I honestly think because of that communication, they were in the know and there weren't assumptions being made. Yeah. And therefore, they were ready to go when we said it's time.
David Benowitz is with us. As you were kind of rebuilding the pub in Hopkins, you guys opened another new location of your concept, The Block, in Rogers.
That is correct.
Which, so, like, obviously a lot going on. Your group, which has restaurants in Minneapolis, but also now, like, all throughout the suburban area. I mean, are you guys out in the suburbs more because there's more opportunity out there? There's better real estate. What has led some of your expansion that is, I guess, maybe St. Louis Park? Was that the first one you did out in the suburbs? And we're seeing more of that.
Yeah, so the first one we did on the suburbs was actually the pub back in 2014 when we first opened. So I think it comes down to opportunity and, you know, working with cities that are really business friendly, that want to provide an opportunity and are just a pleasure to work alongside with every step of the way. Because it can be challenging with some cities. They can make it complicated and expensive. And that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we've chosen to move out to the suburbs. The one in Rogers was just a unique opportunity that was actually presented to us, actually on behalf of our contractor, who is based out of Rogers, that had a really close connection with the economic development director out there. And they were looking to replace the old Rogers Muni to a local full-service restaurant group. So that's how that connection happened. We weren't looking, especially with the pub knowing that it was going to be reopening sometime in the summer.
Right.
We typically don't have restaurants open back-to-back like this. It's very challenging on the staff.
Yeah.
Not bored, Jason. I'll tell you that.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And that Rogers just opened a little over a month ago.
Yeah, we're in week 8 now of that opening. So it's in the infancy stage, and it's going well. And the volleyball courts is a big differentiator out there. We have volleyball leagues 3 days a week, and it's been a hit with that community.
That's pretty fun. David Bedowitz is with us. You know, the big restaurant news today is the news that Bar Lurkot and Cafe Lurkot is closing in September.
I saw that. Huge bummer.
Yeah, I think everybody has that reaction, right? 23 years. I have been getting calls all day from other news organizations trying to find out, like, is there a bigger picture to this, or is this unique to the fact that, look, you know, the D'Amico family has really been refocusing on Naples, where they've got a restaurant called The Continental, and then they have a Campiello, which there used to be one in Eden Prairie, but now their Campiello is just in Naples. Mm-hmm. You know, some of this, I look and I'm like, well, some of this is just like a family priority type situation, that their full service and their life is more in Naples than it is here now. But I do wonder if there's a bigger picture about just how precarious maybe the full service restaurant world is right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's multiple reasons why, Jason, they're moving on with that store. And, you know, one of them, you know, could be, you know, the challenges that the industry continues to face, especially in Minneapolis with different regulations, and, you know, the minimum wage being what it is versus on the suburbs, you know, it's a big deal. And it costs a lot more to run a restaurant in Minneapolis versus the suburbs of the Twin Cities. So
is that different today, or do you think that it was always the case where it was a little cheaper in the suburbs? Has the minimum wage being $15 an hour, has that changed the dynamic?
It has. Yeah. I mean, it's changed quite a bit. I mean, 10 years ago, this wasn't as big of a deal, but with the $15 minimum wage, it is a much bigger deal with tipped employees.
Yeah.
It's challenging.
When restaurant owners talk about things, it being more expensive in Minneapolis, is that the biggest driver, or are there other factors that we don't think about?
I would say that's the biggest differentiator between running a store in Minneapolis versus the suburbs.
Sure.
You know, for a while, you know, some of the new regulations with, you know, paid family made a big difference. But now that's, you know, all across Minnesota. You know, for a while that was just Minneapolis. So that was a big differentiator. And different restaurants chose to roll that out. You know, how they wish. So, but I would say that minimum wage is a big deal, and that it is what it is for right now. I mean, we don't have a credit for tips, and that's
the difference. So, like, some of our listeners maybe don't understand this, because if you live in Wisconsin, the tipped employees can have a lower hourly wage. In Minnesota,
that is exactly right.
Yeah, we don't have that. So
we don't have that exactly. Right.
Yeah, and so it is what it is. But the reality is, if you have, I don't know, if you have 10 people on the clock, and you're paying them $15 instead of $5, you know, that's $100 an hour times however many hours you're open times how many days, like that. Eventually, that goes into the price of your burger. I mean, that's sort of how it goes, right?
It's a huge deal. Yeah. It's a huge deal. And if you were to poll our hourly staff members, they're not working for their hourly wage. They're working for their tips.
Yeah.
So they, most of them, not all of them, but most of them don't care if they're making 15 versus 10, 11, 12, 13, because it's the tips that they're really working for.
They're really getting the tips, yeah. David Benowitz, so with us, congratulations on kind of recovering after the fire. I know Raspberry Festival's coming up. I was over at Pub 819 for, do you say 819, 819? How do you say it?
I say 819, but right. Some people say 819.
Yeah. You're like, you don't care, just as long as you come and have some food.
Exactly right.
Well, it looks great. I know Hopkins has been excited about it, and I have a feeling you're going to get crushed tomorrow. So go visit, but, you know, don't forget about these restaurants on Mondays and Tuesdays and those non-peak lunch times, all of that as well.
That's right. Thank you, Jason. Thank I appreciate you. It. We're really looking forward to opening to the public tomorrow. And as you said, the community is really excited to have us back. And we're going to be ready.
Good stuff. Yeah. David, thank you. We appreciate it. That's DeRussia Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. Back in just a minute here on Drive Time.